Adigatadhar Prabhu will be speaking on the glories of Narsingh Chaturdashi, and especially he'll be glorifying Lord Narsingadev, who's softer than a rose. I hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. You can take over. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. I'm very grateful to all the devotees who have joined. And very grateful to Priti Vilasini Mataji for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you in this way. Wish you all a very, very happy Narsimha Chaturdashi. And we will discuss one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 8, verse number 17. And then we'll discuss the glories of Narsingha Bhagwan. But let us start with this beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 8, verse number 17. Srila Narad Muni speaking. Satyam vidhatum nijabhrutya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhute shakhile shuchatmana adrushya tatya bhutarupa mudvahan sthambe sabhayam namrugam namanusham. Satyam vidhatum nijabhrutya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhute shakhile shuchatmana adrushya tatya bhutarupa mudvahan sthambe sabhayam namrugam namanusham. Satyam vidhatum nijabhrutya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhute shakhile shuchatmana adrushya tatya bhutarupa mudvahan sthambe sabhayam namrugam namanusham. Transliteration. Satyam, true. Vidhatum, to prove. Nijabhrutya bhashitam, the words of his own servant Prahlad Maharaj, who had said that his Lord is present everywhere. Vyaptim, the pervasion, cha and bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements. Akhileshu, all, cha also, atmana, of himself. Adrishyata, was seen. Ati, very. Adbhuta, wonderful. Rupam, form. Udvahan, taking. Sthambe, in the pillar. Sabhayam, within the assembly. Na, not. Mrigam, an animal. Na, nor. Manusham, a human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. To prove that the statement of His servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus, the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Narsimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpakarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Senamaha Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we just read this very beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Rajasuya sacrifice is going on. Dwapar Yuga, it is being conducted by Yudhishthir Maharaj, and all the great sages have come, including Narad Muni, and Shishupal criticizes and blasphemes Shri Krishna, and then in full view of everyone, Lord Krishna releases a Sudarshan Chakra and kills Shishupal, and Yudhishthir Maharaj can see that the soul of Shishupal leaves his body and enters into the transcendental body of Shri Krishna. Sayujya Mukti, got Mukti. When Yudhishthira Maharaj saw this, he was very bewildered. He was confused. How is this possible? How can a sinful person like Shishupal get Mukti? So he asked this question to Narad Muni. And in the Rajasuya Yajna, Narad Muni began to explain to Yudhishthira Maharaj how this is possible. And while explaining, Narad Muni explains the background story of who Shishupal really was. Now, today is the most auspicious tithi of Narasimha Chaturdashi. Lord Narasimhadev appeared on this day at noon, and he fought with Hiranyakashipu until dusk, and then at dusk he killed Hiranyakashipu. We have heard this story so many times. Most of us have heard this story again and again and again. We hear it every year. We hear it so many times during classes. We know the story. So why should we hear it again and again? Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti. So Arjuna, he tells that my birth and my activities are not like the ordinary mundane stories of this world. These are transcendental stories. That's why they are called Grantha. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are scriptures, they are Grantha. They are not novels or storybooks. So Krishna's activities and his birth, they are transcendental. And anyone who understands will not take birth again in this miserable material world, but go back to Krishna in his or her constitutional position. So therefore, the pastimes, the leela of Krishna is very sweet, like a dessert that we eat. Sweet dish like rasgulla or sweet rice, whichever is your payasam, whichever is your favorite dessert. Just think that Krishna leela is like that. Cake or gulab jam or whatever you like. So we don't say when somebody offers you a rasgulla, we don't say, oh, I have eaten rasgulla so many times in the past. I have had sweet rice so many times. I don't want it. We don't say like that. We are given our favorite sweet dish, our favorite dessert. We happily eat it. So similarly, we have to become purified so that we can understand that these pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Leela, is sweet. And we want to taste it again and again. The more we taste it, the more we hear it, we want to hear it again and again and again. So that is devotee. A devotee never gets tired of glorifying the Lord and hearing the Lord being glorified in the association of devotees. So Narad Muni explains that in the spiritual world, there are two wonderful devotees and servants of Krishna, Jaya and Vijaya, and they are the doorkeepers. But when the four Kumaras, the four Kumar headed by Sanat Kumar, they came to have darshan of Lord Narayan, the doorkeeper Jaya and Vijaya thought that these are just small children. They don't know how to behave. So we cannot let them inside Vaikuntha. Because they were 5-year-old, they were not wearing any clothes, so they were naked, and Jaya and Vijaya did not think it was appropriate for them to enter Vaikuntha. So Jaya and Vijaya stopped them. But because they judged pure devotees like the Kumaras to teach them a lesson, the four Kumaras, they cursed Jaya and Vijaya to fall down in the most abominable Rakshas family in the material world and take 3 births as Rakshasas. So their first birth was Jayan Vijay were born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And then second birth, they were born as Ravan and Kumbhakaran, and then Shishupal and Dantavakra. So therefore, Narad Muni explains that now this is the third and the last birth of these two devotees, Jayan Vijay, as demons. So therefore, Shishupal has completed the third birth, the curse is over, and therefore he got liberated and he went back to Vaikuntha. So Narad Muni is explaining like this to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he describes in detail the story of Hiranyakashipu, which is the first birth of Jaya. And Hiranyakashipu was born to Diti, and he was born under the most inauspicious circumstances. He was very demoniac, and Hiranyaksha was born, and then Hiranyakashipu was born. But Hiranyakashipu is the elder brother, because when there is a twin pregnancy, the child who is born first, the child who appears first in the womb of the mother, is behind, and then the second child, the twin, appears in the womb. So he is in front. So when the birth takes place, the one who is born first is actually the younger one, and the living entity who had entered the womb first is behind. So he or she is born later. So Hiranyakashipu was born after Hiranyaksha, but Hiranyakashipu was the elder one because it was a twin pregnancy. And we all know that Hiranya means gold and Kashipu means bed. So Hiranyakashipu's whole meditation was how I can enjoy my senses, be comfortable, and how I can become rich. And Hiranyaksha, his younger brother, Hiranya again means gold, and Aksha means eyes. We address Krishna as Padmaksha, one whose eyes are like the lotus. So Hiranyaksha means one whose eyes are always searching for gold. His eyes are always set on money, wealth, very greedy. So Hiranyaksha was killed by the Supreme Lord in the form of Sri Varahadev. And then, since then, Hiranyakashipu held a grudge against Lord Vishnu, and he wanted to destroy Lord Vishnu. So he did a lot of austerities and got very powerful boons from Lord Brahma. He wanted to become immortal. So he asked Lord Brahma that, please make me immortal. But Lord Brahma explained to Hiranyakashipu that you have performed great austerities and I am obligated to give you benedictions according to your desire, but I am sorry, I cannot fulfill this desire of yours because it is beyond my power. You are asking to become immortal, but even I am mortal. Even I am not immortal. So how can I bestow the benediction of immortality upon you? So that is not possible. So Hiranyakashipu was a demon, so he could not take no for an answer. That is how demons are. That is how demoniac mentality is. We cannot take a no for an answer from our authorities. So he tried to squeeze his benediction somehow out of Brahmaji. Like they say, he tried to twist Brahmaji's arm. So he used his own intelligence, and he devised up a plan so that he would practically become immortal. So he asked for the benediction that I should not be killed by any living entity who is created by you, which is Brahmaji. Now Brahmaji is the creator of this universe. So everybody is coming through him. He is the creator of everybody in this material world. So Hiranyakashipu asked that, I should not be killed by anyone created by you. I should not be killed by any weapon. I should not be killed by a human being or animal or snake. I should not be killed in the daytime or at night time. I should not be killed on the ground or in the air. I should not be killed inside my palace nor outside my palace. I should not be killed by anything that is living or dead. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu thought that he had a perfect plan to become immortal. And Brahmaji said he could not deny this benediction. So he said, okay, I give you this benediction that you will not be killed by all these things. And with all these benedictions now, the demigods, devatas, could not stop Hiranyakashipu. He became extraordinarily powerful because no weapon would work against him. And with his yogic powers, when Brahmaji sprinkled the celestial water on him, Hiranyakashipu got a very powerful body. He was very strong. He had yogic powers. And no weapon could harm him. No demigod could harm him because demigods are all coming from Brahmaji. And they could not do anything to him in the day nor night, nor in the air, nor on land. He practically became undefeatable and immortal. So he created a disturbance all over the universe. All the demigods were displaced from their position, and Hiranyakashipu became the controller of the whole material world. And because he hated Vishnu, he stopped all sacrifices, all Vedic culture. He killed the Brahmins. He destroyed the forests. Destroyed the Goshalas. And he created a big disturbance all over the world. And he thought he was very happy. But then his son, Prahlad, was the son of Hiranyakashipu and Kayadhu, his wife. Prahlad was a devotee because he had heard instructions from a pure devotee, Narad Muni, when he was still in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad was very respectful to his father, but he did not accept the demoniac philosophy of his father. He did not share the same ideals as his father. He was least interested in controlling others and becoming powerful. All he was interested in was remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, and preaching about Krishna. Prahlad was the most exalted pure devotee. He had all the symptoms of a pure devotee. And this did not go down well with Hiranyakashipu for obvious reasons. So Hiranyakashipu put Prahlad in the school of the children of his guru. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, the spiritual master of the demons, is Shukracharya. And his sons were Shanda and Amarka. So in their school, Prahlad was enrolled to be taught politics and economic development, diplomacy, how to control others, and all these materialistic topics, subjects. But Prahlad was not interested. And when Hiranyakashipu asked him, "What is the best thing you have learned in school, my child? Please tell me." Prahlad Maharaj replied that Tat Sadhu Manne, that famous verse, he says that anybody who has accepted a material body and is happy, enjoying all material pleasures, is living in a deep, dark well. And therefore, one must make proper use of the human form of life and take to Krishna consciousness. So, my dear father, you should go to the forest and try to search for Krishna, try to meditate upon Krishna. This was Satya Yoga. You have previously gone to the forest. Prahlad is telling Hiranyakashipu that previously you have gone to the forest, but you did austerities and tapascharya for your own benefit, for your own aggrandizement. But you need to go to the forest to perform bhakti yoga. You should meditate on Vishnu without any motive. Ahaitukya pratihata. That is bhakti. In this way, Prahlad instructs his father. And Hiranyakashipu thinks that, you know, this is, somebody has polluted my son. This cannot be true. My son cannot be speaking like this. So he actually laughs. He laughs it off. He says, this is just an accident that somebody has accidentally polluted the mind of my son Prahlad. So he calls Shanda and Amarka and warns them that look at my son. His intelligence has been polluted by the enemies. There are some spies in your school. who have infiltrated. So please take proper care of my son and train him properly, train him well. And he sends off Prahlad to the school. But when Prahlad goes to the school, he begins preaching Krishna consciousness to his classmates. And all the classmates, they see the beautiful character of Prahlad, his good qualities, and they see that Prahlad is preaching to them out of compassion, because Prahlad genuinely cares for them. So they gave up the teachings of Shanda and Amarka, and they accepted the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And they also became devotees of Krishna. So this was intolerable. This was totally intolerable for Shanda and Amarka, as well as Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad was brought again in front of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu asked him, "What is the best thing, my son? Your favorite subject in school that you have learned. Tell me, what are the best of instructions that you have received?" And Prahlad Maharaj replies that, "Matirna Krishna." He speaks that beautiful verse. Matirna Krishna parata svato vamito vipadayeta gruha vritanam adanta gobhi vishatanta mishram puna punas charvita charvananam. That person who is too much addicted to sense gratification, his senses are uncontrolled and he is lifetime after lifetime chewing what has already been chewed, trying to enjoy what he has already experienced hundreds and thousands of times before. And in this way, he goes to hell, goes to the hellish planets to suffer, and he can never become Krishna conscious. Matirna Krishna. Neither by his own efforts, nor by the instructions of others, nor by a combination of those two. When Hiranyakashipu hears all this glorification of Bhakti Yoga and Krishna Bhakti, he is furious. He is furious. And Hiranyakashipu says that this Prahlad is a threat to my entire dynasty. We have to kill him. Even though he is my son, he is a danger to the entire family. He is a danger to all that I have created. Therefore, there is nothing wrong in killing him. Please kill him right now. So right there, in the Sabha of Hiranyakashipu, in the court of Hiranyakashipu, the Rakshasas, with their sharp tridents and swords and spears, they come and they attack 5-year-old little boy Prahlad, who was very respectful, very gentle in his behavior. He was sinless, but they tried to pierce him with their sharp tridents. They spoke unkind words to him and they tried to kill him right there in front of Hiranyakashipu. But they could not. So then they took him away and you know, they threw him in a pit of poisonous cobras. They threw him from high cliffs. They tried to crush him under the feet of big heavy elephants. They tried so many things. They put him in fire. But nothing could harm Prahlad. Nothing could kill Prahlad. Why? Because he was a devotee, a pure devotee of Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, "Avashya Rakhibe Krishna." Krishna will definitely protect his devotee. "Avashya Rakhibe Krishna. Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke." If Krishna wants to save somebody, nobody can kill that person. And if Krishna wants to kill somebody, nobody can save that person. So Prahlad was perfectly protected by his beloved Lord, Sri Narasimha Dev. And then they brought him again in front of Hiranyakashipu and told him that everything we have tried has not worked, could not kill him. We could not even harm him, even scratch him. So Hiranyakashipu becomes extremely livid. He tells Prahlad, "Where are you getting your strength from? Why are we not able to kill you and destroy you? What is the source of your strength? Tell me." Prahlad Maharaj very honestly replies in a very humble mood, my dear father, O best among the demons, I get the strength that you are talking about. I get the strength from the same source that you get your strength. It is from the same source from where everyone gets their respective strength. And that is Krishna. I get my strength from the Supreme Lord. And so do you. And so does everyone else. Hiranyakashipu asks very angrily, what Vishnu? What Krishna? Who is this Supreme Lord that you always keep talking about? Where is he? Prahlad Maharaj replies that he is everywhere. He is Vishwatma. He is Paramatma. He is present everywhere. So Hiranyakashipu becomes very angry. But then Shanda and Amarka, they pacify Hiranyakashipu. And they say, don't worry. Don't lose your cool. Don't lose your sleep over this stupid boy. You leave him to us. We will take him. We will chastise him and we will train him. So again, Shanda and Amarka, they take little Prahlad to the school. And this time they take a stick in their hand and they chastise him. Chastise him. And they put him under house arrest. They confine him. They don't let him preach to his classmates. And they bombard him with materialistic education. They bombard him. And Prahlad is always very meek and humble. And they make him repeat materialistic instructions. Come on, we are going to teach you about politics, about diplomacy. Repeat after us. Make him repeat and everything. And Prahlad, because he's a student, he repeats. But in his heart, he's always remembering Krishna. After training him for some time, Shanda and Amarka feel that Prahlad has improved. According to their estimation. You know, he has not been preaching and he has been listening to instructions from us. Let us present him in front of Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad goes in front of his father Hiranyakashipu, and as usual he offers dandavat pranam to his father, offers his respects to his father. When Hiranyakashipu is sitting on his high golden throne, he sees his 5-year-old son walk into his court with folded arms, bow down to him and then offer full dandavat pranam to him. His heart melts. Hiranyakashipu's heart melts. And he says, my dear Prahlad, please come. Please come near me. And then Prahlad walks up and goes to his father Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu with his own two arms embraces Prahlad. He embraces Prahlad Maharaj and then picks him up and gently places him very lovingly on his lap. And then with his two hands, he holds the forehead of Prahlad and then he smells his head. And Hiranyakashipu then very lovingly with tears from his eyes, seeing the humility of Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu's heart melts and Hiranyakashipu has tears in his eyes. And those tears, they make the face of baby Prahlad also wet. The tears fall on Prahlad. And he embraces Prahlad and tells him, my dear Prahlad, you have been at your school for quite some time. I have heard good reports about you. Please tell me, what is your favorite subject that you have heard? What is the best instruction that you have heard from your teachers? Now, no doubt Shanda and Amarka were his teachers, but even Narad Muni was his teacher. So the best subject, the best education that he had received from his teachers was from his not materialistic teachers, but from his spiritual teacher, Narad Muni. So Prahlad Maharaj replies, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. He describes this 9 processes of bhakti, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna, about Lord Vishnu. And when Hiranyakashipu hears that word Vishnu, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu becomes totally livid. He cannot control himself. He just pushes Prahlad down from his lap, starts yelling at him and chastising him in very harsh words. You lowest among my family members, how dare you side with the enemies? Do you think you are better than me? Give me my sword. Let me chop off your head right now. Saying this, Hiranyakashipu comes down from his throne and whips out his sharp sword. And he tells Prahlad, I am going to chop off your head right now. And let me see who comes and saves you. You have always spoken about this Lord who is greater than me. You have always spoken about this Lord who is present everywhere. Let me see if he can come and stop me from killing you today. Let me see where he is. Where is he? Again, Prahlad reiterates, my dear father, the Supreme Lord is present everywhere. Everywhere. But to see him, you need bhakti. You are not able to see him because you don't have bhakti in your heart. Everywhere? Where is this God? If he is everywhere, why is he not coming before me? What do you mean he is present everywhere? Is he present in this pillar also? Prahlad looks at the pillar and he says, yes, my dear Lord is present everywhere. My beloved Lord is Vishwatma. He is present everywhere, even in this pillar. Prahlad could actually see Krishna everywhere. He could actually see Krishna in that pillar. So Prahlad was not speaking theoretically. Prahlad was not speaking philosophically. That yes, you know, according to the scriptures, Lord Vishnu is all pervasive, he's present everywhere. No. Prahlad was not just speaking philosophically, but he was speaking from experience. It was his realized knowledge. He had realized Krishna. He could see Krishna in that pillar. So he said, yes, my father, Krishna is present in this pillar also. Then why can I not see him? Hiranyakashipu yelled. Why can I not see him? Where is he? And saying this, Hiranyakashipu banged his fist on that pillar. And as soon as he banged, as soon as he punched that pillar angrily, a roaring transcendental sound started coming from that pillar. And this sound was so ferocious. It was so strange. Such a sound was never before heard. And the pillar started cracking. And out came the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Narasimha Bhagwan, as Sthanu Ugra Narasimha. He was jumping out of the pillar in a very ferocious form. Sri Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki jai. And he appeared at noon. And Hiranyakashipu was confused. Who is this? Who is this personality? He's so much larger than me, so much bigger than me. The hair on his body is shaking the clouds. His eyes are like molten gold and they are very angry. His nostrils are like the caves of a mountain. His ears are very pointed and sharp and erect, and his ears are motionless. The mane on his face looks like that of a ferocious lion, and the mane on his face is silver in color. The hair on his body are silver in color, like the rays of the moon. His arms are like large armies, strong, like huge armies. He's holding beautiful weapons like the sword and the shield, bow and arrow, club, disc, lotus flower, conch shell. The Sudarshan Chakra is there. He's holding this amazing weapons, and two of his hands are without any weapons, but they have sharp nails. His chest is broad and powerful. His waist is thin. His navel is deep. He's wearing a yellow garment, and he's decorated with beautiful jewels. And his roaring is shattering my heart. I have never heard such a tumultuous sound. His body is glaringly effulgent. Even the sun at this noon time appears very dim and dull in the presence of the effulgence of this personality. Who is he? He appears to be so angry with me. But Hiranyakashipu, out of his illusion, thought he could still fight with this person. So he picked up his club and started striking Narasimha Bhagwan with his club. And Narasimha Bhagwan just laughed. Because Hiranyakashipu, when he charged at Narasimha Bhagwan, it appeared as a small insect, a small moth was entering a huge fire. As soon as he attacked Narasimha Bhagwan captured him in his arms. Just grabbed him, captured him. And all the demigods, they become jubilant, they become very happy. And wow, Narasimhadev is going to kill Hiranyakashipu now. But they were still afraid. What if he doesn't kill? What if Hiranyakashipu sees us? That we are applauding his defeat. If he survives, he will kill us. So they are hiding behind the clouds, but they are watching. And then Narasimha Bhagwan, he releases Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, out of his illusion, thinks that Narasimha Bhagwan released me because he is afraid of me. Just see how under illusion our mind works. Narasimha Bhagwan is trying to play with him, just like a Garud may play with a snake for some time before killing it. Hiranyakashipu was being played with by Narasimha Bhagwan, but he thought that Narasimha Bhagwan is scared of me. So he had lost his club, so he picked up a sword and a shield and again jumped at Narasimha Bhagwan and attacked him. And Narasimha Bhagwan was reciprocating with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to fight, and Narasimha Bhagwan was reciprocating by fighting with him. And they had a wonderful fight all the way till sunset. At dusk, Narasimha Bhagwan finally caught Hiranyakashipu again, picked him up and took him at the threshold of the doorway of his palace. So he was neither inside the palace nor outside the palace. Then Narasimha Bhagwan placed Hiranyakashipu on his lap. So he was neither on land nor in the air. The sun had set, but it was not dark yet. Because the sun had set, the day was over. But because there was still sunlight, and because it was not dark, the night had not started yet. It was dusk. It was neither day nor night. With his sharp nails, Narasimha Bhagwan pierced the rock-like body of Hiranyakashipu. Nails are not weapons. Weapons are swords, bows and arrows, clubs, etc. But nails are part of our body. They are not weapons. So Narasimha Bhagwan killed Hiranyakashipu not with any weapons, but with his bare nails. Narasimha Bhagwan is not created by Brahmadev. In fact, Brahmadev is created by Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev appeared as half man and half lion. Na mrigam, na manusham. His face was like a lion, but he was standing on two legs. His lower body was like a human being. So he was neither a human nor lion. Na mrugam na manusham. Half man, half lion. And he pierced the body and ripped open the body of Hiranyakashipu. And then he put his hand into the chest of Hiranyakashipu and plucked out the heart of Hiranyakashipu. And then with his right hand he held up the heart of Hiranyakashipu that had been plucked out from his body. And he showed it to the demigod and then threw the heart down on the floor. Acharyas explain why Narasimha Bhagwan did that. They explain two reasons. First reason is, by plucking out the heart from the body of Hiranyakashipu, Narasimha Bhagwan wanted to show to all the demigods who were so scared of him, demigods who were scared of Hiranyakashipu, Narasimha Bhagwan wanted to show them that, see, I have killed Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is dead. The second reason is, he wanted to show that, see, just see, I have touched the heart of my devotee, Jai. I have touched the heart of my devotee, Hiranyakashipu, and now he is purified. I have touched his heart. And then Narasimha Bhagwan was roaring very angrily. Why was he angry? Narasimha Bhagwan was angry with Hiranyakashipu and the demons because they had tortured, they had tried to harm the sinless Prahlad Maharaj. He was very angry. And all the demons who were the loyal followers of Hiranyakashipu, they attacked Narasimha Bhagwan. And with his sharp nails and weapons, Narasimha Bhagwan destroyed each and every one of them. Everyone was killed. And Narasimha Bhagwan was roaring loudly, who else is there to fight with me? Come on, fight with me. Fight with me, you demons. And all the demons were finished. Nobody had the guts to approach Narasimha Bhagwan. Normally, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he is welcomed by the devotees and the demigods. They come, they garland him, they offer him prayers. But when Narasimha Bhagwan came, nobody offered him a garland. Nobody offered him prayers. Everybody was scared of him. So he saw that Hiranyakashipu is dead. I have killed all his demon followers. But nobody is coming to welcome me. Nobody is coming to garland me. So he took the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and placed his intestines around his own neck as a garland. And his silver mane was sprinkled with the red droplets of blood from the body of Hiranyakashipu. And the whole scene looked very eerie. Such a scene had never been seen. And when the Supreme Lord appears, the devotees and the demigods are supposed to offer him a nice asana. But everybody was so scared of Narasimha Bhagwan that nobody could think of approaching him or offering him anything or speaking to him. So Narasimha Bhagwan saw nobody is offering me a place to sit. So he goes and sits on the golden throne, on the high throne of Hiranyakashipu. The acharyas explain that Narasimha Bhagwan wants to teach us. When Narasimha Bhagwan appeared in the palace of Hiranyakashipu, he was a guest of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu should have welcomed Narasimha Bhagwan with kind words. Hiranyakashipu should have offered a flower garland to Narasimha Bhagwan. And Hiranyakashipu should have offered his eternal lord a place to sit. But Hiranyakashipu did not offer any of these three things. Instead of offering beautiful prayers, he criticized the lord. Instead of offering him a garland, he attacked the lord. And he tried to kill the lord instead of offering him a nice seat. But Narasimha Bhagwan is trying to teach us, the acharyas explain, that Narasimha Bhagwan is trying to teach us that even though my devotee Hiranyakashipu, who is Jai, my own doorkeeper in Vaikuntha, even though my devotee Hiranyakashipu forgot that I am his eternal lord,
I did not forget that he is my eternal servant. He did not offer me a garland. I accepted his intestines as a garland. He did not offer me Abhishek. I accepted his blood as Abhishek, water. He did not offer me a place to sit. I accepted his own throne as a sitting place. So here on the high throne, golden throne of Hiranyakashipu, Narsim Bhagwan is sitting. And all the devatas, all the siddhas, all the gandharvas and everybody else, all the residents of Swargaloka, Indradev, all the devatagad, they are very scared of him. Nobody is willing to approach. Very meekly Brahmaji offers his glorification and prayer. Very meekly Lakshmiji offers her glorification and prayer. Very meekly Indradev offers his prayers. The Siddhas offer their prayers. The Gandharvas offer their prayers. The Pitras offer their prayers. Everybody offers their prayers. But Narsim Bhagwan is not satisfied. He's roaring. He's still roaring. He's still angry. Everybody is offering prayers from a distance. But nobody is willing to approach the Lord. Then Brahmaji requests the 5-year-old devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, you go and you alone can pacify the Lord. Please go. Prahlad Maharaj did not volunteer to go. Okay, you have not been successful in pacifying the Lord. Now just see how I do it. Let me go and do it. That is how our mentality is. We want to show what we have done. We want acknowledgement, distinction, prestige for what we do. But Prahlad, while everybody else was trying, Prahlad was standing silently in a corner with folded hands and his head bowed down in front of Narsingha Bhagwan. And he was drinking the beauty of Narsingha Bhagwan. When Brahmaji requested, Prahlad Maharaj took the orders of Brahmaji upon his head and very humbly he started walking towards Narsingha Bhagwan. And he went straight up to Narsingha Bhagwan and started offering beautiful prayers. The first verse that Prahlad Maharaj speaks to Narsingha Bhagwan is very instructive. Prahlad Maharaj says that Brahmaji, Lakshmiji, Indradev, the Gandharvas, the Devatas, they offered prayers to you, but you could not be pacified. How is it possible for a fallen soul like me, who is born in the demon family, a daitya like me, how is it possible, my Lord, to adequately glorify you and to pacify you? It is not possible for me. But still, because Brahmaji has asked me to, I will offer you my heartfelt prayers. And then Prahlad Maharaj offers beautiful prayers to Narsingha Bhagwan. And Narsingha Bhagwan is completely satisfied with the prayers of Prahlad. And Narsingha Bhagwan, with his own lotus hands, he places his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj and blesses him. As soon as Narsingha Bhagwan places his lotus hand on the head of Prahlad, two things happen. Narsingha Bhagwan's anger completely evaporates, completely dissipates. His anger is gone. He becomes Shanta Narsimha. The Ugra Narsimha becomes Shanta Narsimha. He becomes pacified. And the second thing that happens is Prahlad Maharaj is completely purified by the touch of Narsingha Bhagwan. All the material contamination goes away from the core of his heart. And he continues to offer glorification to Narsingha Bhagwan. Narsingha Bhagwan tells him, I am Varadraj. I like to give benedictions to my devotees. Please ask me for benediction. And Prahlad Maharaj says, my Lord, I am not a businessman. I am your devotee. My relationship with you is very simple. You are my master and I am your servant. A servant who expects anything from his master in return for the services is not a true servant. So please don't tempt me by your illusory energy. But still, Narsingh Bhagwan insists. We are running out of time, so I will cut it short. But Narsingh Bhagwan insists. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, if you want to offer me anything, please forgive the offenses of my sinful father. Narsingh Bhagwan is so keen to give benedictions to Prahlad that he says, my dear Prahlad, what to speak of your father? 7 times 3, 21 generations have been liberated, have been purified because of your bhakti. Your generation, 10 generations above you, which includes Hiranyakashipu, and 10 generations below you, 21 generations have been purified because of your bhakti. I order you to enjoy this kingdom. I order you to take over the throne of your father, rule his kingdom, but never forget me. Always be Krishna conscious and perform your duty. And at the end of your life, you will come back to my eternal abode and continue serving me eternally because you are my eternal devotee. This is, in short, the appearance pastime of Narsingh Bhagwan. But I wanted to conclude by speaking for 2 or 3 minutes about the internal reasons for the Lord's appearance. When Narsingh Bhagwan appeared, he appeared from a pillar. So the pillar became his mother. He did not have any relationship with his father and mother. So when he was seeing that how lovingly Prahlad is looking at me, when Narsingh Bhagwan saw that Prahlad is looking at me with so much love, he is looking at me as if I am his eternal father, Narsingh Bhagwan developed an internal desire. He says, I also want to experience what Prahlad is experiencing. I also want to have a father and mother. I don't have any father and mother. I appeared from a pillar. So in my next incarnation, I want to experience the protection and the love that Prahlad is feeling from me. I want to feel it from my parents. So I want to have parents in my next incarnation. So Narsingh Bhagwan developed this one secret desire in Satya Yuga when he came as Narsingh Bhagwan. So in the next Yuga, Sambhavami Yuga Yuga, every Yuga he comes. In the next Yuga, in Treta Yuga, he came as Lord Ramchandra. And he had 3 mothers and 1 father. His father was Dasharath and his mothers were Kaikeyi, Kausalya and Sumitra. So he enjoyed Vatsalya Ras with his pure devotees, Dasharath Maharaj, Kausalya Mai and his other 2 mothers also, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. And there are beautiful pastimes that Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna enjoyed with their parents in Ayodhya. But Lord Ramchandra developed 2 desires. Narsingh Bhagwan developed 1 desire. Lord Ramchandra developed 2 desires. When he was walking in the forest of Dandakaranya, when he was at Chitrakoot also, there were many rishis and sages who were in the renounced order of life, who were living in the forest. When they saw the beauty of Lord Ramchandra, that he was of medium height, his complexion was so beautiful, like a durva grass, greenish complexion. His eyes are like freshly blossomed lotus. His teeth are white like the jasmine buds. His arms are long and strong, go below his knees. His neck is like the conch shell. He's so beautiful. He's the reservoir of all beauty. In their purified spiritual state, these rishis and munis, they developed a desire to serve Lord Ramchandra in the conjugal rasa, in Madhurya ras. Lord Ramchandra, being Antaryami, being Paramatma, he understood the desire in the hearts of his devotees, the forest rishis and munis. But he could not reciprocate in that avatar because as Lord Ramchandra, he wanted to set the ideal standards for human beings. Maryada Purush Uttam. Maryada Purush Uttam. So he could not reciprocate. So his first desire was that in my next incarnation, I want to reciprocate with my devotees in the conjugal ras, in Madhurya ras. when he made friendship with Sugriv and Vibhishan, he saw that they are his intimate friends, but they always have awe and reverence towards himself, towards Lord Ram. The relationship is very formal. So Lord Ramchandra developed a second desire, that I want to have friends, intimate friends, but they should be very informal with me. They should not be, their friendship should not be tinged with awe and reverence. It should be very informal, playful friendship. The second desire Lord Ramchandra developed. So in the next Yuga, in Dwapar Yuga, Lord Ramchandra came as Shri Krishna. And in Vrindavan, he had friends like Madhu Mangal, Shridama, Subal, so many of them, the Gopa friends, with whom he used to play, wrestle, eat from their plate, and had so many fun pastimes with them. Very informal, very informal. So that desire was fulfilled. And the rishis of the forest, in the next yuga that appeared, some of them appeared as the gopis of Vrindavan. And Krishna reciprocated with them in the conjugal ras, in Madhurya ras, and fulfilled that second desire also. So when Lord Ramchandra came as Krishna, both the desires that he had in Treta Yuga were fulfilled. But Krishna Bhagwan developed three desires. Once Krishna was sitting with Srimati Radharani in the forest of Vrindavan, and a bumblebee, a honeybee came, and she was buzzing around the beautiful flower-like face of Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani was getting disturbed with the honeybee. So she tried to just shake her hand and try to ask the honeybee to keep a distance. And Krishna also did, go away to the honeybee. And as soon as Krishna said, the honeybee went away and left Radha and Krishna alone. So when the Radharani had closed her eyes in fear of that honeybee, so when the honeybee flew away, Krishna whispered in the ears of Srimati Radharani that, hey Radhe, Madhu has gone. Madhu means honeybee. Radharani hears, Madhu has gone. But Madhu is also a name of Krishna that Radharani calls him, Madhu, Madhusudan. So when Radharani hears that Madhu has gone, she thinks that my Krishna has left me. He has gone. So in her ecstasy of separation, she starts crying. And seeing the love of Srimati Radharani, even Krishna starts crying. And he tries to console her. No, I am still here with me. Radhe, I am still here with me. What I meant was, the honeybee, Madhu, has gone. Your Madhusudan is still with you. Please don't cry. And seeing her love, even Krishna starts crying. And their tears, they mix together and they form Prem Sarovar. This Prem Sarovar is still there in Vrindavan Dham. So when Krishna sees this love of Srimati Radharani, he feels, what is this love that Srimati Radharani feels for me? I want to taste the love of Srimati Radharani. I want to experience the love of Srimati Radharani. What is this Radha Bhav? I want to experience that. So it's the first desire that Krishna develops. The second desire is, whenever Krishna goes out to graze with his friends or the cows in the daytime, all the gopis and the elder gopas, they are constantly talking about Krishna, chanting his names. And at night when he is at home with the elders, all the young gopis, they are calling out his names and they go to the forest to meet Krishna. So whenever Krishna is away from his devotees, the devotees are constantly taking shelter of his holy name and drinking the nectar of the holy names of Krishna. Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare, He Nath Narayana Vasudeva, Jivhepi Basva Mrutmeta Eva, Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. Juhe, my tongue, Pibaswa, drink, Amrit, Eva, this Amrit, what? Govinda Damodar Madhaveti, this beautiful names. Juhe, Pibaswa, Amritameta Eva, Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. So Krishna develops the second desire that my devotees in separation from me always take shelter of my holy name and they derive so much sweetness, so much ecstasy from my name. What is the power of my own name? I want to taste that. I want to experience the sweetness of my own name. Second desire. And third desire is, once Krishna looks at his own reflection in a jewel in Nanda Maharaja's house and he sees his own beauty. What a beautiful complexion. His skin is so soft, like freshly churned butter. His eyes are so beautiful. His lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. So beautiful. His curly black hair, peacock feather in his hair. He just faints. Krishna has never seen anything so beautiful, anybody so beautiful. So he just faints. So Krishna has a third desire, that what is my own beauty? What is in my own beauty that so much attracts the gopis? When gopis see the bark of a tamal tree, the tamal tree bark complexion reminds them of my color, and they feel that I am standing there in the form of tamal tree, and they come and embrace the tamal tree. What is this? What is my own beauty that the gopis are always meditating upon? I want to experience my own beauty. Your third desire that Krishna develops. And then in the next yuga, in Kali Yuga, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He came in Radha Bhav. He came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And he experienced the love that Srimati Radharani is experiencing eternally. He always looked at the beautiful form of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, again drinking the physical beauty of Krishna, second desire. And he was always chanting the holy names, the Yugal Mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Always chanting this holy Yugal Mantra of Radha and Krishna's names. Mahaprabhu was always chanting and he was tasting the nectar of the holy name. So third desire also was fulfilled. So all the three desires that Krishna had, they were fulfilled when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu developed unlimited desires. Not one, not two, not three, but unlimited desires. His desire is that each and every one of us should get Krishna Prem. Krishna Prema Pradayate. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada is the Senapati, the Commander-in-Chief of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is distributing this treasure of Krishna Prem to all of us. And Narasimha Bhagwan is the protector of this Sankirtan movement. Narasimha Bhagwan is not harsh. Narasimha Bhagwan is not cruel. He is softer than a rose. Why? Because he appeared to keep the promise of three of his devotees. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj said that he is present in the pillar. So to prove his words to be true, Satyam Vidhatum Nijabhrutya Bhashitam. To prove the words of his own servant true, he came. Second, Brahmaji had said that Hiranyakashipu will not be killed by anybody created by me, anybody who was a human or animal, or so many conditions were there. So to keep the words, to keep the promise of Brahmadev intact, Narasimha Bhagwan appeared. So see how soft he is towards Brahmadev. And he's so soft towards Hiranyakashipu. He came, he accepted his intestines as a garland, his throne as his asan, and he delivered Hiranyakashipu from a demoniac sinful life and gave him liberation, purified him. So he was very soft even to Hiranyakashipu. Although externally it may seem that he is very angry, but actually his anger is also love. His anger is also love. He elevated Hiranyakashipu instantly, touched his heart, and gave him a better life. That is, softer than a rose, Narasimha Bhagwan. If you look externally, it may appear that the servants of Hiranyakashipu, the demons, they were loyal to him. They charged at Narasimha Bhagwan. They attacked Narasimha Bhagwan. They were very loyal to Hiranyakashipu. But actually, Narasimha Bhagwan loved Hiranyakashipu more than any of his so-called loyal servants. Narasimha Bhagwan loved Hiranyakashipu even more than Prahlad loved Hiranyakashipu. Because Narasimha Bhagwan is the Paramatma in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. He loves everyone. Therefore, Narasimha Bhagwan's anger is also a manifestation of his love. And Narasimha Bhagwan is non-different from the original Bhagwan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. As we can see, these different desires that Narasimha Bhagwan had, Lord Ramchandra had, Krishna had, and as they were fulfilled in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see that it's the same person, same Supreme Personality of God is one, but he appears in different incarnations for different internal reasons and external reasons. It is explained that just like the moon, sometimes it is full moon on Purnima, then it is 3/4 moon, half moon, 1/4 moon, crescent moon, and then it disappears, there is no moon, and then again full moon, like that. So just like the moon manifests different forms, similarly, Krishna also manifests different forms. But in all the forms, he is equally powerful. We should not think that Varahadeva is less powerful than Krishna or Narasimha Bhagwan is more powerful than some other incarnation. No. That is offensive. It is not like that. We may appreciate the moon. We may see the moon as a crescent moon. We may see the moon as a half moon. We may see the moon as a full moon. But if you go to the moon is whole. The moon is always full moon. But the moon is revealing himself to us in different forms. We are able to perceive the moon in different levels of brightness, in different forms, crescent, half, full. That is our perception. But actually the moon is always full. Similarly, the Lord, he may appear as Narasimha Dev, as Ramchandra, as Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is all powerful. He is equally powerful. But he is choosing to manifest different degrees of his glories. The full glory you can see in Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Manja. But God is one. Shri Narasimha Bhagwan ki jai, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, Salgari Srishila Prabhupada. What a very, very beautiful power-packed class it was. So nice. We could literally see the whole thing happening in front of our eyes. Really like the part where you were talking about how Narasimha Bhagavan, he took the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and he accepted it as a garland and he accepted his throne. And the blood was like an abhishek. It was so beautiful, such beautiful realizations. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very, very beautiful class. Thank you again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much Prabhuji for this beautiful narration of this beautiful pastime Prabhuji. So nicely you narrated and gave us insight also from the pastime. Prabhuji, I have a question, like in which loka this pastime happened, because I heard like different versions. So do you know some of
which pastime, Mataji? The Narasimha Bhagwan pastime?
Narasimha Bhagwan pastime, yes Prabhuji.
Mataji, the pastime that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, it happened on our planet, on the Earth planet. Therefore, the place is still there where Narasimha Bhagwan appeared and where he killed, when he appeared, he was so powerful that how we say in English, oh my God, that O in Sanskrit is called Aho. Aho means wow, like that. So when he appeared, he was so powerful, he was source of all strength. So all the demigods, they started chanting, Aho Balam, what strength, what bal he is manifesting. He is beating up Hiranyakashipu. Aho Balam, that place is still there in South India. Aho Balam, beautiful temple there. Then in Malakot also, there is a beautiful temple of Narasimha Bhagwan. And then Simhachalam is the place in South India where they tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu's servants. So this pastime happened on planet Earth. But there is Kalpa Bhed also. In some other yugas, this pastime might have happened somewhere else. But the one that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know, it happened on Bhulok, on an Earth planet. There are some pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam which did not happen on Earth planet. For example, the pastime of Gajendra, it did not happen on Earth. There is no place on Earth where that Trikuta mountain is. And so that pastime, it happened in the heavenly planet. So some pastimes happened elsewhere, but this pastime of Narasimha Bhagwan, it happened on Earth. Hare Krishna.
Because I heard in a class that that time Hiranyakashipu conquered all the three worlds, so he was in the Swarga Loka. So he took the asana of Indra. I got confused. Okay, thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Yes, Father. The demigods had run away from their posts, but Hiranyakashipu chose to live on Earth. Everything was perfect for him. He was as comfortable on Earth as he would have been in the heavenly planets. Well, everything was working according to his desire. He was completely in control, except that he could not control Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
You're welcome, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. This is Kirti Dasabji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for this such a beautiful narration of such a beautiful pastime. And as Shruti Malasni Mataji was telling, so even I could simply visualize what's happening, you know. So beautiful narration. And thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this beautiful class. And of course, you know, even Srila Prabhupada, and I heard him in Jayapataka Maharaj saying, the class is, whenever we give class, it's totally complete if we end with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so you did it. And I was wondering that how you can relate Narasimhadev pastime with the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you did it so beautifully. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Really indebted to you, and seek your association more often. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Madhavi. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavas Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was very nice. And we were talking about the, like, we shouldn't see Narasimha Avatar, Varaha Avatar. Then how we should see, Prabhuji? And while we have the deities at home, they, sometimes we say Krishna will be in the first stage, and then Jagannath Baladev, and then Gaur Nitai and Narasimhadev. So how to understand that, Prabhuji, and how to see everyone in the same thing?
So Mataji, we have to understand the mood of the incarnation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, but he came in the mood of a Vaishnava. He came in the mood of a devotee. So he likes to wear a Tulsi Mala around his neck, Kanthi Mala. He likes to eat Ekadashi food on Ekadashi. He likes to be one level lower than Krishna because he always worshipped Krishna. So that is the mood of that incarnation. That is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we respect that mood. We respect that mood. So we therefore keep him, if it is possible, we keep him, you know, we keep Krishna one level above that. As far as other incarnations, Vishnu Tattva incarnations are concerned, we really don't distinguish between नरसिंह भगवान और लॉर्ड रामचंद्र और वराहदेव और राधा कृष्ण, we keep them on the same level. And only panch tattva we keep, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we may keep him on lower level if we want to, because that was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then one level below that will be the six Goswamis and then our parampara, like that. Does that help, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, yeah. So all the incarnations we can keep in the same level. Except
yes,
for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay, okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also you can keep at the same level. But we are not wrong if we keep Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a lower level. But we have to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Therefore, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wears Kanthi Mala, Tulsi Mala around his neck, but at his lotus feet, we still offer Tulsi leaves. So yes, we are honoring his mood of being a Vaishnava. But at the same time, we are also not forgetting the reality that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll conclude by saying one thing is very beautiful. There are two things, Mataji. There is rasa and there is tattva. Rasa is the leela. Rasa is the leela and tattva is the truth. So to give you an example, Krishna himself incarnates as his own shadow, and that person is called Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu is the husband of Srimati Radharani. It is Krishna only. Abhimanyu is Krishna. It's Krishna's incarnation. Krishna's shadow incarnated as Abhimanyu. But so from the rasa standpoint, from the mellow standpoint, from the bhakti standpoint, from the emotional standpoint, the rasa standpoint is that Krishna himself places himself as the husband of Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is the husband of Srimati Radharani. But then from the rasa is that Krishna is separated from Radharani. Radharani is married to somebody else. That is the rasa of the leela. So from the rasa standpoint, we understand that Radharani is married to somebody else other than Krishna. His name is Abhimanyu. But the tattva, from the tattva standpoint, we understand that it is actually Krishna only. It is actually Krishna. So, like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, the rasa is that he is a devotee, he is a Vaishnava. He will observe Ekadashi, he will do Japa, he will do Kirtan, he will chant his own names. So that is the rasa, he is a devotee, supreme Vaishnava. But the tattva is that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam Sangopangastar Parshadam Yajnayar Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. He is Krishna only. That is the tattva. But rasa is that he is in the mood of a devotee. I hope that helps, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji, really. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. It was very nice about Tattva and Rasa. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, I missed one point. I can hear the lecture, but I'll just ask, like, why did Ramchandra develop the desire of friendship and conjugal love, Prabhuji?
Because the rishis in the forest of Dandakaranya and Chitrakoot, they wanted to reciprocate and have a relationship with Lord Ramchandra in the Madhurya Leela, in the conjugal love. As a Paramatma, he understood their desire, but he could not reciprocate because he is ek patni vrata. He had taken a vrat that I will have only one wife, that is Mother Sita. So then in the next incarnation, he did that. And the example is given that when we are sitting cross-legged, our right leg touches the left leg, but we are comfortable with that. We don't think it's an offense. But if I am sitting with my friend, my godbrother, and my leg touches his leg, you know, it's an offense. So I will immediately touch him with my hand and touch my hand to my head and offer obeisances and ask for forgiveness, right? If you are sitting, Mataji, and, you know, you happen to kick somebody with your leg, then you will immediately ask for forgiveness. But if your own leg touches your other leg, then you will not ask for forgiveness because it's your leg. There is that unity. So Lord Ramchandra wanted friendship like that, that my friends should not have formal relationship. You know, if they kick me, if they climb on my back, if I climb on their back, if I eat from their plate, they eat from my plate, there should be no formality.
there should be no awe and reverence. So he wanted like the legs of the same body. He wanted that kind of friendship. He developed that transcendental desire to experience that type of informal friendship, where there is no awe and reverence. That is Lord Ramchandra. And then he came as Krishna and fulfilled that with the Gopas. Is that okay, Matari?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for a very wonderful class, Prabhuji. I heard in one class, can I add one point, Prabhuji?
Yes, Father, please feel free.
In Narasimha Dev pastime, I heard that one time Hiranyakashipu went for a tapascharya, and at that time Indra became a parrot. And he went there and disturbing his tapascharya by chanting Ram, Ram, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, like that. And he was not able to focusing in his meditation. And that's why he just gave up and he again come back to the palace. And at that time, and that same night, Kayadu and Heath, actually, they met and Kayadu conceived. And that great son is Prahlad Maharaj, because that day he was just thinking of Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram, like that, because that parrot was speaking like that, and that parrot was nothing but Indra. This is one thing that shows that, like husband and wife, they should be both Krishna conscious, and the offering means the child which they are producing, that will become Krishna conscious. We know about Kayadu, that she was in the, she was with the, Narad Muni's ashram. So, but this is one point, like Hiranyakashipu means he was also heard that Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram from Indra. And this is one point. Second point when Narasimha Dev tear stomach of Hiranyakashipu, and nobody was offering him garland, and why he took that intestine of Hiranyakashipu and put on his own on his neck. So why it is so? Because one time the Maharaj was saying, like the one time when Hiranyakashipu and he was fighting with Vishnu. So Vishnu become a makhi matlab aur wo unke naak mein se andar chale jate hai. So he went through his nose. And his whole body become purified. Why? Because Vishnu goes inside his heart, his intestine, his tummy, everything become purified. And that's why when Hiranyakashipu tear his stomach, so he put that intestine, because that is also purified because of presence of Vishnu. So this is another point. So that was I heard, and that what I want to share with all of us. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for sharing. Hare Krishna. Dandavats.
If anyone else has any questions or comments for Prabhuji, please go ahead. Okay. So thank you all so much again for joining. Thank you so much, Adhikaradhar Prabhu, for a very, very beautiful class. The best way to start the day. Thank you so much again. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, नरसिम्हदेव अपियरेंस सेलिब्रेशंस की जय, हिज ग्रेस आदि गदादार प्रभु की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज, हरे कृष्ण।
थैंक यू वेरी मच,
हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू, हरे कृष्ण, धन्यवाद।
वेरी वंडरफुल, थैंक यू वेरी मच, हरे कृष्ण।